start the topic on the Gemara Maalot. Gemara has continued to discuss with the Mishnah, presents to us that there's certain items or certain mitzvot that can be ne'amarim b'chol lashon or b'chol, that can be said in any language. One of the items that's mentioned in the Mishnah is tefillah. So Gemara wants to know, why is tefillah allowed to be said in any lashon? Gemara says, rach mehi, gohefti deboi matzli. The whole point, tefillah is a, right, is a supplication for Hashem. It's a dibur speaking to Hashem. And a person wants to daven, they can daven in whatever lashon you want. So, of course, the Rav Soloveitchik's formulation of tefillah, the mitzvah of tefillah is not reading the words, but avodah shibaleif. Avodah shibaleif, right, the words are just an expression of that which is in the leif, and therefore it should be irrelevant what language a person uses, but more important is what the person's feeling and the expression of those words. So the word tefillah b'chol lashon, is it really true that you can daven in any language? Person should not ask for his needs in Aramit. Right, so this is like Martin Shabbos, right, that a person, whoever asks their needs in Aramit, the Malachi Asherit do not come to his aid. The fee, Shein Malachi Asherit Makrim Lashon Aramit. Because the Malachim don't know Lashon Aramit. They don't know Aramaic. And since they don't Aramaic, they can't intercede on our behalf or help the tefillah be nitzkabel. So therefore, a person should avoid davening in lashon aramit. So lo kasha, that's not a question. Habiyochid habtzibur. That's the difference between a yochid and a tzibur. What's the difference? Well, we know by a tzibur that the tefillah of the tzibur eino nimeset. That the power of the tzibur is that the tefillah is never rejected. So a tzibur does not need this extra benefit of having the malachim intercede on their behalf, and therefore it's sufficient that they are a tzibur already. But whereas a yochid who needs all the benefit he can get, all the help he can get, he should not daven in aramid because of the need for the malachim to aid in his tefillah. That's why the on Shabbos, for instance, where you have the Yukur Khan, right, if you are davening the tzibur, both because that's relevant to the tzibur as a whole, but because it's in Aramaic, right, we do say it. Whereas if you're a yochid, then you skip those because of the tefillot are in Aramaic. Right. Now the Gemara says, "Bahatanyo." Where it says, "Ve'im malachim shari makim l'shon arami." Is it really true that the malachim don't understand l'shon arami? Why they don't understand l'shon arami is not clear. It might be because l'shon miguna, that it's not, it's a language that's a bastardization of Hebrew, or it's a takeoff on Hebrew, but it's not exactly clear why they don't understand Aramaic. Batanya, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Shamay Bat Kol Mibet Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yochanan Kohen Gadol entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he heard Shomer, Natzchut Talia, Dazlu Dagarcha, Kravada Antochia. So he heard in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he heard that the Bnei Hashmonai had gone out to battle. Right, and he heard from there that the young Kohanim that went out to battle, Lantuchia, that they went out to fight against the Yevanim, and it says here that they went out before Yom HaKippurim, and they fought on Yom HaKippurim, and that Yochanan Kohen heard that, and heard that they had won the battle, that they succeeded in the battle. But you hear that what? They heard it in Aramaic. So here he's hearing a bat call in the Kodesh of Kashim in Aramaic. Vishuv Masi Vishimon HaTzadik. Again, Shimon HaTzadik, Shama bat call mebik Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he heard a bat call coming out of the Kodesh HaKadim. Shomer, B'tevat Abita, Damar Sin'ah, B'ita'al Hechala. So that the Gezerah, or the armies that had set out the laws, or Gezerot, to come on the Mikdash, have been nullified, and there are Gaskalakas, and the king, or this Greek king, or Greek ruler, has passed away with Luke Zerotav, right, and that they had, and all of his Zerot were annulled. Bekitvu Otosha'a, they wrote down exactly when that was, that he had heard it, Bekitnu, and they saw that it was exactly when he had passed away, meaning that the Bakkal came at that moment when he had passed away. So when it says it was shown, Arami Hayomer. But both of these instances where the Kohen Gadol heard something about Kohen, right, he still heard it in Aramaic. So if the Malachim don't understand Aramaic, what is transpiring over here? So when it says two answers, Ibaidem Abatkol Shaini, Delo Shmuya Vido, Right, that one is that it's just a bat kol. We're not talking about malachim here, we're talking about a bat kol. Bat kol is a different manifestation of the shkina or the message of Hashem. And a bat kol is simply made to be heard. I mean, it's to be understood or heard by the person who hears it. So a bat kol can be in Aramaic, not because the malachim necessarily understand Aramaic, but it's sent in whatever language is necessary at the time, or whatever language is understood, and to direct the message to that person, not necessarily as an avoda of the malachim. Vibai Deima, Gabriel Hava. But there is an exception, that is Malach Gabriel. Damar, Mar, Bab Gabriel, Vilim Do, Shibim Lashon. Gabriel came, right, very good, this is Gemara further on in this parak, that Gabriel came and taught Yosef the 70 Lashon note, in order that when he came before Paro, that he would have the trump card in order to have more than Paro had, or more Lashon note than Paro had. But then we know that Gabriel, he taught him the 70 Lashon note, that means that Gabriel also understood Aramaic, which is one of the 70 Lashon note. So he could be the Malach that communicated in these two instances, versus in general, where we don't want to dive in Aramaic because the Malachim will not intercede on our behalf on Aramaic. Birkat HaMazon. So he said in the Mishnah, that Birkat HaMazon, right, is one of those items, right, that you can say b'chol lashon. Now, there are two different possible girsot here. Rashi eliminates the girsa that the, eliminates the girsa that says minolon, right, that you have to know where, right? There was a girsa, he says, if you look in Rashi, it says, lo garsina minolon, lo baikro, mehekatete divina lashon hakodesh. It says you don't need a pasuk to teach you that you can say Birkat HaMazon in any language, because why would you think you have to say Birkat HaMazon in Lashon HaKodesh? Meaning that you have to have a Havamina that it has to be in Lashon HaKodesh to have a pasuk to tell you that you don't need to say any Lashon. So Rashi says, Rashi's Gemara, just the way Rashi has it read, is that Birkat HaMazon is the whole Lashon. Dechtiv achalta v'sabata v'yirakta v'shem alkecha, kol Lashon shatam yibarech. Whatever Lashon that you did in the Bracha, not that it's a limud, because you don't need the limud, but basically, the same point that we had Bishma and other places, that whenever Lashon is understandable to you, you can say it. Tosfos rejects Rashi's elimination of the Girsa. He says that we should. He said, Rashi shibesh ha-Girsa, right? Rashi messed up the Girsa, or all these Gemarot that had the word Minolan found in it. Because he said that without the pasuk, why would you have thought it should be in Lashon HaKodesh? So Tosu suggests there could be a Havamina. The Saka that's Amino Nelech Bracha mi Brachot Hargizim or Brachot Hargizim. That maybe you should learn some sort of Hekesh from the Brachot and Kalot of Hargizim. Just like the Brachot and Hargizim are found, have to be done in Lashon HaKodesh. So it's over here, the Bracha of Birkat HaMazon should be done in Lashon HaKodesh. And therefore, the conclusion of the Gemara is no, right? That you don't need that midolon, because akhalta sabach v'rachta shemagah b'chol ashon shahata mevarech, right? And therefore, it says, or the other possibility is that, that bracha we also see by Birkat Kohanim, that we know that Birkat Kohanim has to be Lashon HaKodesh. So we see there is this idea that whenever it's a bracha, that it should be in Lashon HaKodesh, right? V'ashevach, right? And so any Shevach to Hashem you can say in whatever language that you want. Umistama Lashon Shatamakir. Right? It makes sense that it should be in a language that you understand. So you should give full, if you're going to be express oneself and give praise to Hashem, then one should understand how they're giving praise. Again, it goes back to this idea of tefillah, that tefillah, if tefillah is something that is there, it's rachmahi that comes from the lave. Also shevach, if you're giving praise to someone, you should understand the praise that you're giving to the individual, and it only enhances the praise if you understand it. And therefore, the bracha b'chol lashon means, meaning that if you're giving a bracha, if you're giving shevach to Hashem, it should be, or you should be able to do it with a b'chol lashon in order that it be the most efficacious or the most meaningful.
Right. Tefillah, there's no tefillah on
it.
Presumably for the same reason, right?
That the Gemara doesn't have
a makor for tefillah. Right, I'm saying, and Rashi says,
well, bracha is different. The shevach versus tefillah, which the Gemara is saying is rachmi. Right? The Gemara is distinguishing between the two. But yeah, Rashi did say that above, which is that tefillah does not need a source either. So you're right, it is consistent. The only thing is that it's different. It's obviously different aspects of tefillah. One's vakasha and rachme versus one is shavach. Shvata edut, that the shvut, a person takes a shvu'ah that he does not know edut. Someone that invades it says that he does not know edut for someone else and takes a shvu'ah to that effect. Dichtiv, the nefesh ki techata v'shama kol Allah. Right, a person sins v'shama kol Allah. He hears the voice of the right of the Allah the Shua b'chol lashon shei shamat. Whatever lashon you hear, v'shama. Right, so the shema again is being darshaned as whatever language you understand. Shua tapikadon. What about shua that you take? A person takes that he has not misappropriated a pikadon, something like with him, that was obviously a shvat sheker. So we have a hekesh or a zer shava between techata bechachav and shvat eidut, just like shvat eidut is b'chol hashon, so too shvat ha pikadon is also b'chol hashon. The question is, right, what was the havamin? And again, like by Birkat HaMazon, we said there's no havamin to say that it should be B'Lashon HaKodesh. What is the havamin over here by Shvat Eidut or by Shvat HaPikidon that it should have to be B'Lashon HaKodesh? Rashi says it is, B'Lashon Rashi, Shvat Eidut Nalalon, Dilo Katov Kra, Yikla Meimar, Dibin and Dumi of the Shvat, Harbizim Vahari Val. Because those were a Shvat. Not only were they the Brachan Kala, but they were also a Shvat, Shu B'Lashon HaKodesh. So since there was a requirement of B'Lashon HaKodesh, Vahari Val, Mahari Rizim, so too, there's an application to any Shua should be in Lashon HaKodesh. On the other hand, Tosfos says that no, that he rejects Rashi's shot. He says no, that it's not about Hargizim Harbe Shua, but rather he says that if it wasn't for the pasuk, we would learn Kol Mi Moshe. Right? We saw before that, or we're going to see that Moshe, it says Kol by Moshe, and the Kol by Moshe was in Lashon HaKodesh. So over here, the Kol of Shema Kol Allah should also be in Lashon HaKodesh. But he rejects Rashi's shot of Hargizim Harival, right? Because you also have Shuat HaSota. Right? You have an equal bearing. You have Shuat HaSota, and you have Shuat HaGizim HaRival. Shuat HaSota is Kol Lashon. Shuat HaGizim HaRival is the Lashon HaKodesh. So why would you focus on the Shua of HaGizim HaRival versus the Shua of Sota?
That's what Rashi doesn't say, like this is above, by Rizal Hazman. Over here, he uses the name of because maybe considers it a Shua rather than a prophet.
I think that's what drove Rashi to.
Yeah, because he says he cites it as a Shua.
Shua, not as a prophet. Maybe. That's interesting. Ve'elu ne'marim b'lashon HaKodesh. These are the items that are said only b'lashon HaKodesh. Mikra bikurim b'chalitza. Alright, so. Ad Mikra Brinkurim Ketzad. So we came and said what? Vanita Vamarta Liknashon Makacha. Vahanu Omer, it says by Hargazim Aribel, Vanu Alibim Vamru El Kulish Israel. Mani Amura Lahaman Bilashon HaKodesh, Abkan Bilashon HaKodesh. Just like by Hargazim Aribel, Bilashon HaKodesh. So too by Mikra Bikurim, Bilashon HaKodesh. This is what you want to know, Shaul. Levim Gufayo Minalon. Where's the Levim? How do we know that Hargazim Aribel, that itself they needed Bilashon HaKodesh? Atya Kol Kol Mi Moshe. We have the word Kol Kol because they were shoveled from Moshe. Kiv Kafa Kol Ram. It says by Hargazim Aribel, Kol Ram. Lefetiv Atta Moshe Yidber Vel Kimianenu Bit Kol. Hashem was speaking, Moshe was answering Bit Kol. Malahalan, of course, when they assert the Dibur were given, when the Torah was given, that was given Bilashon HaKodesh. Afghan B'Lashon HaKodesh. So too over here by Hargazim and Haribal, it must be B'Lashon HaKodesh. And once we know Hargazim and Haribal are B'Lashon HaKodesh, we have the Anu V'Amru to teach us the Hekesh or the Gzer Shava between them and Mikra Bikurim to teach us also by Mikra Bikurim that you need B'Lashon HaKodesh. Chalitza, Ketzad. So now we had in the Mishnah, right, the two possibilities of what we do by Chalitza. So the possibility by Chalitza was that a machlokas regarding chalitza as to what the source for chalitza was. So the Mishnah said, "Ketzad ve'anta v'amra." Well, Halan Omer anu halavim. So they have the same comparison we did by Mikra Kuhin. V'anta v'amra is a hekesh or gezeres shava to the anu v'amru of the halavim, and that's what generates the Lashon HaKodesh over here. But Rabbi Yehuda argued and says that I don't need it. I have the word kacha there. So the word taka is ma'akev. So kach is ma'akev, not only ma'akev, right, in the seder of the chalitza, but it's also ma'akev in the lashon of the chalitza. Rabbanon, hai kaka, mai avdilei. What do they, Rabbanon, do with this kaka? The kaka is the lashon of ipuf. So what do they do with this lashon kaka? They don't disagree that kaka is ma'akev. Question is, what is the kaka referring to? Is the kaka simply referring to the seder ha-ma'asim, that the actions that are taken by the chalutz and the yabam? Or is it, right, review that says, no, that's not simply just the ipu, but it's in addition to that, it's the lashon that's involved. Rabbi Huda mikaka miko kaka. And that it said a lashon. I could have said miko, or instead of saying miko, it says kaka. Maybe miko kaka. Rabbanim ko kaka lo mashum lahu. They don't think that that's a drush over here. So now, according to this, what is the drusha of Rabbi Yehuda? Right. So Rabbi Yehuda has a drusha of kaka to teach you there's an ikuv. Right, of both Lashona Kodesh and an Ikuva to say they're Havodah. How does he learn out that that's the case? Does he learn it out? So Tosa says he doesn't know which way the Limud goes. He says, Leodani, Darsh, Rebidu, Miko, Kaka, the Cholamur, Beparsha, Apilu, Kriya, Miakva, the Enli Shnot, Mikolamur, the Haki, Ahani, Ko, Kaka. When Mela, Abi Lashon, Son, Nami, Ikuva, the Parsha, and Nemra, Lashona Kodesh. She holds. That's an interesting line in Tosa. Tame, Lamar, Kane. Tim Kane, come on, me Rabbi Tav Sirle. Who does he hold like his Rebbeim? Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Akiva, Tavar Modi, Kriya Loma Akva. Everybody agrees that Kriya Taparsha is not Ma'akev. Kriya the Parsha Kalisa is not Ma'akev, only the Masim are Ma'akev. So he has two Rebbeim. So now what does he do? He has Lashona Kodesh is Ma'akev, but the Kriya is not Ma'akev. So this brings a suggestion that if you do, if you're Kore, then you have to do it in Lashona Kodesh. But if you don't do it, it's not Ma'akev. He says that he thinks that's a Svara Tema. That it's a crazy situation where you have you wouldn't have to read it, but if you do read it, you have to read it in the Lashon HaKodesh. Having the Ikuv, you have to do the Lashon HaKodesh only if you do read it. But if you don't read it, you don't have to. He said he doesn't feel like that's the proper Peshat here. But he says, but he thinks it's Mistavrate, the main mark, Sphile, the Kriyam Akev, Upali Gatana, the Tamasnis, and Beperka Mitzvah Chalitza. And he thinks that he argues on the Tana over there that says that everybody agrees that Kriya is not Akev. There's a Tana in the Gemara, in Yevamos, when it's discussing Chalitza, that says that nobody argues about Kriya, they only argue about what is Akev in the Parsha. So he says he's going to argue on this Tana who set up his Rebbeim. Right, Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Akiva to say that they don't agree on that. He's going to say no. Even Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Akiva believe that Kriya is Ma'akev. And if Kriya is Ma'akev, then it'll also be Ma'akev that it's in Lashon HaKodesh.
They both agree?
I'm sorry? Or at least one of them would agree. I mean, that might be either a point of contention or a point that they agree on that Kriya is Ma'akev. Meaning that not that they both agree that it's not so. So he'd have to argue in that Tana because Tosfos is not willing to be Makabel. That over here, Rabbi Yehuda believes that Kriya is not Ma'akev, but Lashon HaKodesh is Ma'akev. He believes that the whole package is Ma'akev. When you say it's Ma'akev, everything. You say there Kriya and Lashon HaKodesh. And therefore he wants to say that he will not agree with the Tana in Yevamos, who sets it up, that nobody says that Kriya is Ma'akev. And he'll have to disagree with that point. Right now, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda, hi, Antam Amra, my Yavidle. What does he do? Antam Amra, the Chachamim learn Antam Amra to teach Lashon HaKodesh. What does he do with that? By the way, like, Mure, will it be in the Lashon HaKodesh? So he needs that to teach you that by Har Gizim and Har Ebal, that it's the Lashon HaKodesh. Well, didn't we just say we have a limit of that, the way that you call me Moshe? Right, what about Kol Kol Mi Moshe? It says, Aniyah, Aniyah, Gamir, Kol Kol, Go Gamir. He had a Masorah with regards to Aniyah, that was a Gzer Shava, and Kol Kol, he did not have a Masorah for that. Since, as Rashi points out, Ein Adam Gan Gzer Shava, Ein Kain Kabula, right, unless he has a Masorah for it, since he didn't have a Masorah for that, his Masorah was from the Aniyah of Halitza, that's how we learn the Shona Kodesh. And from there we learn to Har Gizim and Har Ebal. So that turns out that the machlokas here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda is both for the source of the Lashon HaKodesh by Chalitza, as well as the source for the Lashon HaKodesh by Har Gizim and Har Ebal. The Chachamim think that Har Gizim and Har Ebal we learn out from Kol Kol Mi Moshe, and then from Har Gizim and Har Ebal we learn to Chalitza from Tav Amra. The way Rabbi Yehuda learns the exact opposite way. But that we know Lashon HaKodesh by Chalitza because of the word Kaka, right, or Kol Kaka. And then from there we learn to Har Gizim and Har Ebal because of Antav Amra, we learn to Har Gizim and Har Ebal, that is Lashon HaKodesh. So anytime we have these lishon notes, right, these lishon notes imply an ipuv that is subject to lashon hakodesh. Ko, where do we see it such a limu? We see ko tavar ku, right, that the lashon of ko is by ko tavar ku ben Israel, right, which is birkat kohanim. Kafa to chalitza, right, the kafa here we come by chalitza, and then aniyav yamira to levi'im. That's how we learn it out. The har gazim and har yigal. Where does he learn lashon hakodesh from? Aniyav yamira, and not from ko mimoshe. So this Bryce supports the position that he uses any Yavi Amira to teach us by Hargazim and Harival Balashana Kodesh and not by from Kol Kol Mimos. But basically he's saying these are all the Lashon notes of Ikuv. And since the Lashon notes of Ikuv, therefore it includes Lashon Kodesh. That's basically Rabbi Yehuda's Pshat. Alright. So now the Gemara says, Brachot Vikolot Ketzat, right? So the mission said, how does this whole process make Gilgal? How did that go? Kevin Shabu is still at the Yardain, once we still pass the Yardain, who can Rabbanon? Hello, he might be Ebar Yardain, maybe Yardain, Melech. When it says they're in the Ebar Yardain, it means far away from the Ebar Yardain. Tiber of Yehuda, because where Bnei Israel is standing on the eastern side of the Yardain, and when it says they're in the western side of the Yardain, it doesn't literally mean on the western bank of the Yardain, but it means far, right? Far away from the Yardain. Tiber of Yehuda, Acharei, Derech Mevoa Shemesh. Right, after the place where the Shemesh coats, where did the sun come up? Right, the sun comes up on the eastern side. So it says, Acharei. Acharei means we fly far away from where the sun rises, far away from the eastern side. So if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you're in the eastern end of Eretz Yisrael towards the Yardain, you're on the western bank of the Yardain. So it says far away from where the east, right after where you cross over the Yardain, that eastern portion, far away from there, further west is where you want to go. Right, so the Eretz HaKani, Hayoshev Ba'arava, right, where is the Eretz HaKani who live in the Arava? Elu, Hargizim, Ba'arival, Sheshvim, Mehen, Udim. What is this referred to? This refers to Hargizim, Ba'arival, where the Udim stay or where they're living. Not that the Udim at that time lived there, that's a later development, but that's a identifying mark of where the Udim live. Mul HaGilgal, what does it mean, Mul HaGilgal? It means Samuch HaGilgal, close to Gilgal. Just like the Avraham Avinu when it says Elon Moreh is Shem, so it's over here when it says Elon Moreh, right, it's referring to Shem as well. So these are the identifying markers of where they should go to Hargizim and Haribal. One is that it's far away from the eastern bank, it's far away from the bank of the Yardain. It's far away from the eastern part where the sun rises. It is Mula Gilgal, it's close to the Gilgal, and it's near Elon Moreh or Shem. Those are the identifying marks of Hargizim and Haribal. Tanya, Amar Abalos of Rabbi Yosef, there says, Yafti Sifrei Kutiyim. But this, I was able to prove that the Sifrei Kutiyim are a forgery. Right? Because the Kutiyim believed only in Torah Shibbi Chakav, and not Torah Shibbi Chakav. Amar Tilehem, Ziyaptim Taratatam. You guys made your Torah into a forgery because you don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, and you have nothing in your hands. We both agree that Elon Moreh refers to Shem. We know that Elon Moreh is Shem because we have a Zer Shabbat to Avraham Avinu, that Elon Moreh is Shem. You, the Kutiyim, how do you know? What type of limud do you have to teach you that Elon Moreh is Shem? You know that Har Gizim and Har Eval are found near Shem, and that's where the right, the Karaites and the Kutiyim set up shop over there. And they thought that Har Gizim and Har Eval was Kadosh, and that's what we say later on. The Gemara says that at first the Kutiyim were considered Shevim, and they were Naaman on Mitzvah Torah, right? So later on they found that they were, had a Pesel up on right Har Gizim, and they were about, they said the Kutiyim are like Goyim Lagamre, that they were not Mekubal because they were worshipping Avodah Zarah. So, but over here you see that what that they, what is the limud? How do they know that Har Gizim Har Eval is the location that they're talking about? Because they don't have any limud that's Torah Shabbat Peh. Without Torah Shabbat Peh, how do you know that? It's a general problem with words that don't have definition. I remember many years ago that there were Jews for Jesus on campus when I was in college. They came to argue about the Torah Shabbat Chatab should be kept, but Torah Shabbat Peh is meaningless. So the gentleman, one of the Jews of Jesus, had a tzitzis on, and I asked him at the time, I said, how do you know, where did you know it had to make those strings from? And the problem that they face is what? That the term tzitzis is an undefined term in the Torah, right? So if you have tzitzis, or how do you know certain terms, sukkah, right, which may be a little easier, but fill in. All these are items that today have meaning because we've given definition to them through the Torah Shabbat Peh, or through the Sora. Without that, how do you know what those words mean in the Torah? It says, fill in, they're not defined terms. Without having definition to the terms, right, then you don't know what they are. So it's over here, it's the same thing. You have a little moreh is a location without definition. Once you place it next to Shechem, then you know, you have a limba that teaches that little moreh tells you that means it's Shechem. So that's the problem without a misora, without some sort of oral transmission, the Torah is really ambiguous in many instances because they use terms that are not really defined or a process that's not defined. The terminology has definition within Torah Shabbat Peh, and that's what you need to in order to learn Torah Shabbat Peh. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar, interpret this whole thing, or this whole pasuk to me. Aloheima ve'Ivar Yardin, Samuch ve'Yardin. Ivar Yardin means on the other bank of the Yardin, close to the Yardin. Dimei Yardin ve'Elef, if you think it's already far away from the Yardin, Aloheim, Hayu Barachem et Yardin. Right, doesn't everybody say that after you cross over the Yardin, Achrei Derech Mavoa Shemesh. So now we said before, Derech Mavoa Shemesh is where the sun rises, from the east, so far away from the east. He says, no, what's Derech Mavoa Shemesh? Makom Shachamash Shokat, the place of Ba'a Shemesh, like the term that the Torah uses, Ba'a Shemesh, when the sun sets. So Derech Mavoa Shemesh, right, leaves the hair, right? So that is, Derech Mavoa Shemesh means where the sun sets, that's on the west. So we say, Acharei, Derech Mavoa Shemesh means far away from where the sun sets. So where the sun sets in the west, far away from the west means east of there.
This is possible, we'll have a question.
Right, which is right after you cross over the Yardin. Eretz HaKani, right, so the Gemara says, Eretz HaKani, Eretz Kivihi. Right, it's not Eretz HaKani, it's Eretz Kivihi. Yoshei Barova, right, it's in the plain. Halo Ben Arim Vavotein Yoshvim. Right, are they, don't they live up on the mountains and in the valleys? Mula Gilgal, Halo Lo Reu as a Gilgal. From where they were standing over there, they were not seeing the Gilgal. So Rabbi Lazman Yaakov Amer Lo Bakadu Bela Harot Lehem Derech Bishniyak Derech Shalhem Birishonah. The Pasuk only comes to teach them a way that they did in the first one, just like they did in the first one, so that's what they'll do in the second. What's the first one here? And what is the second one? The Derech Shalhem Birishonah is B'Teitam Mitzrayim, when they went out of Mitzrayim. Amud Anan, Rashi says, B'Derech Shalhem Birishonah is B'Teitam Mitzrayim, when they went out of to direct them along the way. Kach Bach Shavli, Asher Derech Feifam, Alor Atam Adarech Afisha Galu Lepanam, to teach them the way or the proper way to go. The Hashem know the Panam, Shatida Anan Liksok, B'Mitat Moshe. The Anan would go away when Moshe dies, B'Leilech Im Yoshua, and would not go along with Yeshua. Rather, Machashe Bruta Yardin, the Kabosha Taurus, after you pass to conquer the land, Yaku Derech Pusha, go in the place that is flat, Derech Yishuv, in the place that is settled, but Derech Eretz Kani, Shi Araba, go on through the Araba, those areas to conquer land, by Yakifu Samach Lesfarta Yardin, and do not go up by the banks of the Yardin, Derech Eretz Achidin, Shi Harim Ugbal, by the mountains and the valleys. Ankutu Lutokha, Mitzad Marav, Rachok Min Ayadin, Makifu Yakshu. Go to the western side, far away from the Yardin. And that's it. So he's giving, it's not instructions of where Sarah the Bracha is, but these are instructions for how to go ahead and conquer the land. Because these pointers, or these locations, are not relevant to Harkazim and Haribal and Shechem necessarily, so therefore these pointers must be indicating something else. They're indicating the best way to go about and conquer the land, because before they had a guide. They had the Anan who did all the guiding for them, show them the way. Now they're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, they no longer have the Anan, they don't have a guide. If they don't have a guide, what's going to guide them? So that's it. These Sukkim give them the directions for where they should go or how they should go about conquering the land. And obviously Rabbi Lazar holds of Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, as Rashi points out, that Rabbi Lazar says that these identifying marks do not say what Rabbi Yehuda said above, that it identifies Hargazim Haribal, because they're missing, they're lacking in their direction. They're almost the opposite of what you would say up there. So what does he believe they're telling you? They believe that they're telling you exactly what Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov told you, that there are directions for how to conquer the land.
So what is the
I mean, that if you say that the definition of Mula Gilgal means that they were in Hargazim Haribal, they were opposite the Gilgal, they were nowhere near the Gilgal. So that means lower than Gilgal. If you're standing in Hargazim Haribal, it's not Gilgal. That can't be the reason that the Gilgal is written here, because it has nothing to do with Hargazim and Haribal. So it must be it's written for another reason. All right. What do you mean to go on the derech? You should go on the roads, and do not go in the fields and the vineyards. Are you shave? And what does it mean? Yoshev, you go along the settled areas and not in the deserts. Barava, right? What does it mean? Barava, barava, go on the plains, lo barim and not in the mountains and the low places. So again, these are excuse me, directions for how to go ahead and conquer the land, or the direct, or the way they should go as they go to conquer the land. Right now, Tana Rabbanan, Kitzav Ru Yisrael et HaYardin. Had Bnei Yisrael crossed the Yardin. B'chol Yom Aron Nosea Achbar Shnei Degalim. Right, so we just had this in Parshat Naso, that when they blew this to the Chatzitzos and they went, that the first two Shvatim would go, or the first two Degalim would go, then the Levim would pick up the Aron and head out with the Aron. On the other hand, today the Aron went in front of the Am Shneimar, Bnei Aron Brit, right, Adon Kol Haaretz Ovred Lifneichem, that went in front of you, meaning every, in front of everyone. Every other time the Levim, the ones who carried the Aron, meaning that they were the ones who were designated to carry the Masaha Aron. Today, when they crossed through the Yardin, the Kohanim carried it. That the waters, when the feet of the Kohanim hit the waters of the Yardin split. So you see that who's carrying the Aron right now? The Aron Hashem are the Kohanim. Tanya, the Rebbeiser of Yosi Omer, Shloshim Makot Nasu Aron Kohanim et Aron. There are three places where the Kohanim carried the Aron and not the Levim. One, Shavu et Yardin. That's our case over here. Number two, Kishivu et Yericho. When they surrounded Yericho and they went around. And the last one is Kishiviru Uldim Komo. When they returned it to its place. What's returning it to its place? When they brought it in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the time of Shlomo HaMelech, they brought it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. At that point in time, it was brought by the Kohanim, because it says, by Shlomo HaMelech, it says, by Yavo Kol Zikne Yisrael, by Yisu HaKohanim et Aaron. In Melachim, it says that the all the Zikne Yisrael came, and the Kohanim carried the Aaron. And that's considered Mikomo, because until that point, it wasn't in its place. If the time of blessed Shiloh, and the Plishtim conquered Shiloh, destroyed Shiloh, and took the Aron, made a number of stops from there, right? Then the Plishtim sent it back by itself in the wagon, and then it stayed in the house of Abinadab. Then they tried to bring it up, right, in the time of David, and then it failed, and it ends up in the house of Obed Edom. And then later on, David finally brings it up to Yerushalayim, and it sits in Yer David, until Shlomo builds the Mikdash, and Shlomo builds the Mikdash. That's Mikomo. That's the place they're on. It's quoted to the Pasuk in Malachim, says that it was placed in Mikomo. Now, the problem is that in Dibrei Hayamim, it does not say that. And that is, in Malachim, it says that, but in Dibrei Hayamim, it says, Vayisu Alevim et Aaron. Because the Levim carried the Aron. So now you have two psukim there, found by bringing the Aron back into the Mikdash. One says the Kohanim brought it back in, one says that it's the Levim bringing it in. So one possibility, Tosis points out here, we've seen this Gemara, that in 24 places, the Kohanim are called the Levim. Right, we had that Gemara together. So this is one of those 24 places. He suggests that maybe the Levim that's found in Dibrei Hayamim is referencing the Kohanim in Lachim, and that's one of the places. Right, that's the one of the 24 places that the Kohanim are called Levim. That's one possibility. Is the other possibility, Tosfos says, is that they were multiple people involved in the carrying of the Aron. That Inami Kohanim Naklu Mimkomo, they took it from its place. Asher Nakalo David, when David added a tent near David, they took it from there. And they brought it in a Suara Hechal. They brought it into the Hechal. Then they Mashul Levim, they passed it to the Levim. The Levim then carried it from there up to the Hechal, and they passed it back again to the Kohanim to take it into the Hechal. The Levim did the Masa of the Aron, but the movement from the place, its location by Yer David, and its location into the Mikdash, in the Kodesh, where we know, so that the Kohanim are the ones who deal with placing it in the Kodesh, going into the Kodesh, was about the Kohanim. So both of them are right. One is about the Kohanim, one's Levim. They were both involved in the process of moving the Aron. I will stop here.